the What Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Story that we just put up at whatreallyhappened.com. Apparently, there was a student protest at this high school in Maryland involving a student walkout, and apparently attack dogs were used on them to basically change their mind, and four students were arrested for basically what amounts to thought crimes. That is where we are right now in this country. Everything that George Orwell predicted has come to pass. We're going to have a phone call here. Mark in Philadelphia. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Mark, are you there? Okay. Can we go over to Lee in Kentucky then?
But Cricket Puppet Shows wants you to repeat what you said about a military base, Afghanistan, under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Would you repeat that for the Occupy Stream people?
Okay, we're getting a story from Press TV that a United States air base in Afghanistan has come under a missile attack. Press TV is reporting that. Basically, they're saying they're presuming it's Taliban in retaliation for that massacre last Sunday where the nine children were killed. Maybe could also be a false flag attack by the U.S. itself, which is trying to convince Karzai to allow the United States to break its promise to leave Afghanistan in 2014 and stay on indefinitely.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Can we switch back to Mark in Philadelphia now? Mark, are you there? Okay, we lost Mark. Then we've got another caller, Jean-Luc in Indiana. Aloha, Jean-Luc. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, I was just calling to... I had heard, I think it was about a month ago now, that President Obama had signed in a bill that was supposedly launching, I believe it was a large number, I'm not completely sure, but I believe it was somewhere around 20,000 satellites into orbit. I was wondering if you had any further information on that.
Well, I have heard nothing about that whatsoever. I mean, 20,000 satellites into orbit, that's a very expensive undertaking. Any idea
right.
what these satellites are supposed to do other than well, not crash into each other?
It was said to be for surveillance. You know, that could be amongst any number of things, but, I mean...
know that Obama has authorized the use of drones over the United States, but those are not
okay.
satellites. Those are basically flying craft here.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what you're talking about there. We're going to let you go. Mark is now back on the line. Mark, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Mike. I really, really appreciate you being there. I love your show. And I really appreciate that you're one of the few that are out there that are aggregating a lot of information. Now, I don't know if you're aware. Did you read this article written on Wired magazine by James Bamford? The title mm-hmm. of the article is "The NSA is Building the Country's Biggest Spy Center." Watch what you say, and it's about I don't know if you did you know about this? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I read the thing, and I have to tell you, in all honesty, I think a lot of this announcement about bigger, better spy satellites and 20,000 satellites overhead and all the rest of it, I think it's a bluff, because I don't think the United States government, with as much money as they've taken from us and managed not to have to give to Wall Street, could actually build a surveillance center that could watch all 300 million Americans. I think it's basically a bluff. They're trying to say, don't talk to your friends and neighbors about what you think is going wrong with the country because we might hear you. And it's the same bluff the Nazis did, where they had informants on every street corner. Actually, no, they didn't. But that was the myth they kept putting out in order to scare people into staying silent and go along with the government policy. It's not really working here. The entire alternative media proves we don't care if they're listening to us. We don't have any secrets. We're not hiding the secret that we seek a restoration of the Republic. We're not ashamed that we're opposed to war and corruption. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back with more phone calls. Thanks a lot.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go to Dalla up in Canada. Aloha, Dalla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. It's actually Dallas.
Dallas. Okay.
Yeah, good to hear you back on the
that,
network.
That hamster is mistyping on the keyboard. I'm sorry.
Anyhow, I just wanted to talk a little bit about encryption. Back in 1996, the U.S. Reclassified encryption as a munition. Like, they classified it as a weapon and made it illegal for anybody to export any communications in or out of the United States using encryption. Anyhow.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that my Captain Midnight secret decoder ring is now classed as a munition?
Correct. That happened way back in 1996.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everybody's been using it anyway. Or should
yeah,
I
know.
Say some people are using it. I have a theory. I just want to ask you if you believe that if everybody in the world started using encryption, would it really matter if they had any spying laws? They wouldn't be able to look at us if we had the if everybody, just like we in our snail mail, we put our messages in an envelope. Why wouldn't we put our email in a virtual envelope and use encryption? If everybody in the world used it, they wouldn't know who to look at. What do you think?
Well,
about that?
It's a good idea, and I encourage people to use encryption any time that they can. Especially if you've got business secrets that you're developing a new product line or something, and you don't want the FBI's agents to find out what you're doing and rush off to their stockbroker and make a lot of money on your work when you're not looking. Because that actually does happen. There was a big scandal about that in Seattle many years ago, involving the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference. And so, yeah, if everybody's using encryption, it does make it a lot harder for the NSA to basically read what you're doing. The problem is that the NSA has control over the encryption methods you're allowed to use. And there have been so many scandals where they deliberately cripple the encryption, and it makes it easier for the hackers to get into these computers, but it's done so that the government can get in there anytime it wants to. And I remember there was a huge scandal when the first digital cell phones came out, and they were talking about encrypting that voice channel, because the very first cell phones came out that were analog, you could get a scanner and you could hear the cell phone conversations, just like you could hear the cordless phones in your adjoining units. Mm-hmm. And so they said, we're going to encrypt the cell phone so that only you and your other partner can actually hear the conversation in the clear. And it was a 16-bit key. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that by law, the high order 8 bits were always set to zero. So it only meant it was really an 8-bit key. And that could be brute forced very, very quickly during the initiation of the call by people who've got the appropriate equipment, which, of course, means the NSA. So anytime there's an encryption system out there that is commercially available or the government is approved, you basically assume that there's a backdoor into it. So if you are engaged in communications or protecting your data, the best way to protect your data from the NSA is to unplug it from the wall. Second best way is to learn coding and just come up with your own encryption system. And it doesn't have to be national security capable. Like I said, most of the work to break a code is determining its methodology. And you just come up with a really obscure methodology, and even if it's absolutely not perfect, it's simply not worth the NSA's time to break the methodology of 25 or 50,000 dedicated amateur cryptographers, you know, coming up with their own little way of keeping their message traffic private.
Right. I think it was a gentleman by the name of Philip Zimmerman who came up with pretty good privacy, PGP, and mm-hmm. I think that was the reason that the government got worried about the encryption, because they were unable to break it.
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily unable to break it. It's a question of cost. And we know that a lot of amateurs have gotten together with special machines built out of graphic processors, mm-hmm. which are proving to be very, very valuable for key breaking. And I know that Zimmerman did PGP, and then Whitfield Diffie came along with the public key aspect of it, which made it actually usable for the population at large. But it turns out public keys are breakable. And my particular theory is this whole thing about Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining was somebody's covert effort to basically harness all kinds of computers out on the network as a massive key-breaking system. And it was kind of interesting. At the same time, this whole Bitcoin mining operation was out there, and everybody was plugging their machine in because they wanted a Bitcoin. And that was about the same time we started seeing some very carefully protected, guarded public key databases being brought down.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well,
so
if it,
go
takes,
ahead.
It takes a certain amount of time for them to crack one message. So, like, my theory is that if everybody used encryption for every message, not only sensitive information, then they wouldn't know which messages to decrypt.
They would
crack.
Have to decode them all. They would have to decode them all. And, you know, there are other ways of, you know, the very best way to protect a message is that it doesn't look like a message. And there's a practice called steganography out there where you embed text information in the low order bits of an image. And many, many years ago when this whole Clipper chip was up there, one of the images in the older section of my website, the Rancho Run Amucca section, one of those images has a quote from Shakespeare hidden in it. Using steganography, and nobody's ever found it. They don't know which image it is. They don't know which quote it is. So,
and just another point, have you heard of the Einion router?
Oh, yes.
The Einion router network. Well, they have an Android app right now, which mm-hmm. turns your Android device into a mobile Einion router. So if we mm-hmm. everybody in the world had these mobile Einion routers running around, hiding the messages that are encrypted, we've got like two layers of protection right there.
Yeah, but you're going to saturate the network with that one.
Well, I mean, what's privacy worth? What's our freedom worth?
Well, I understand that, but it's a logistical constraint. If we saturate the network and the network stops running, then we've lost the whole thing. And, I mean, they're already saying that, you know, all these iPhones and smartphones and everything, the networks didn't keep up with them. And that's why, AT&T has canceled their unlimited data plan. And they want to put brakes on how much data people are using because they don't want to spend the money to enlarge the networks. But we're already dealing in a situation where a lot of people out there with smartphones, they're having trouble getting their data, and having portable onion routers out there in a significant part of the population is going to create some serious communication bottlenecks. So that part of the idea, in theory, it sounds good. In practicality, it causes more harm than it does anything else.
Well, there's a third technology which could give us what would be known as an undernet, and that is called there's a plug computer, which it creates a network underneath the internet. So there would be no telephone company required to get your access from, and it's called freedomboxfoundation.org.
Well, I'll take a look at that one. You know, and there's there's all kinds of methods that are out there, but ultimately the one that still works the best is what's called as a one-time key, a one-time pad. And
right.
That is, of course, what you use to communicate with your spies over shortwave radio stations. They're still using that.
Oh.
The old methods still work the best. If you have a shortwave radio, you've probably come across these radio stations that do nothing but sit there reading strings of numbers. Those
right.
are messages to foreign spies.
Hmm. And then if all else fails, what about a carrier pigeon?
Well, we had that one for dinner last night because of the tough economy, so we can't use that one anymore.
Thanks
an awful lot. We're going to let you go here, and we're going to switch over to Steve in Canada. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you guys are talking about email and encryption and stuff like that. I just happen to live in the town that makes the BlackBerry by Research in Motion, and
mm-hmm.
that was the originator of encrypted emails, and that's what made them so big was at a time when business was just starting to go online and emails were, people were worried about security. The BlackBerry came out with its encryption, and it was unbreakable. Like, it was basically like a bank account key lock, like that you would do online. And basically the last 2 years, RIM has been attacked mercilessly by the media around the world, the mainstream media, and torn it down, and everybody's mocking the BlackBerry, and they aren't advanced enough, and they aren't keeping up with the iPod and the Android. And the fact is that Wired Magazine published an article like 2 months ago where the top 12 most easily hackable phones were Androids. There wasn't a BlackBerry to be found. So
mm-hmm.
if anybody wants an easy way to email, it's through the Research in Motion, the BlackBerry system. It's fully encrypted. And I don't know if you'll remember, but about 4 or 5 months ago, there were, might have been longer than that, when the whole uprisings all started in the Middle East. They
yep.
were forcing Research in Motion to unlock their encryption in some of these countries because a lot of the activists were using the BlackBerry to organize a lot of these demonstrations, and they couldn't follow them.
Well, you see, that's another good reason to, if you feel that you need encryption, to really come up with your own system, because anything that is provided by a commercial provider, the government can come in and say, turn it off or give us the keys, so forth and so on. There's a big story coming out now about how this little pattern lock system on the Android phones is proving to be too difficult for the FBI to crack into, and it's leading to another one of these test cases where the court is going to order somebody to provide a password.
Yep.
And it's a big, ugly situation. But if you really have stuff that needs to be protected from prying eyes, the very best way is to unplug it from the network, and the second best way is to conceal it in a way that people don't realize they're looking at some kind of a message. My encryption requirements are really very, very simple, and I don't use encryption anymore because I'm not in the film and TV industry anymore. But while I was working, okay, I got to take a break for commercials. When I come back, I'll finish up this story. So we'll be right back.
Hi. My name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Sing a song of taxes, working class cancer sore, tea in Boston Harbor, and Revolutionary War, of giving to the rich and taking from the poor. Sing a song of taxes, let's even up the score. Sing a song of taxes.
Alrighty, and welcome back to the show here. We're talking about codes and encryption. And as I said, my need for encryption used to be very simple. Walking around with a laptop full of images and film clips and visual effects work, maybe even outtakes from the TV shows I was working on. My worst nightmare was that some bozo from the TSA was going to copy it all off and sell it to his good buddy running the Fan magazine, which would have caused a great deal of harm to my clients. And, you know, we are responsible for maintaining the secrecy of this material that we're given to do our job with. And that was a tremendous worry. And so I did use a lot of encryption. And being a coder, you know, I've created some of my own in the past. And if you really have a need for privacy, anybody who relies on the encryption given to you by a corporation or a government, you're an idiot. You absolutely are. Manny in the control room was telling me that the FBI used to be able to look at the blinking lights on your modem. If they could see the modem through the window, they could look at the blinking lights and decode the data stream just from that. And on the older modems, you could. That's why on the new modems, it's just blinking. They deliberately cut that out. So that you can't do that. One of the things the FBI used to do is on the older cathode ray tubes, the circuitry that was sending signals to the screen, especially on the black and white ones, or the green and white, or the green and black or yellow and black monitors, the monochrome monitors that were text only, was actually very easy. The radio noise generated by that monitor could be read at a distance and used to reconstruct what was on the screen. Not as easy to do with the flat panel screens, but these days the government just goes to your ISP and says, what the heck are they talking about over there? All righty, let's see. We have a caller on the line, Rob in Minnesota. Aloha, Rob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Like your new time slot. It's good to someone with intelligent skepticism again.
Are you sure you tuned to the right network?
No, you are. I really do enjoy listening to your show. Anyway, I work second shift. You know, normally 4 days a week. I call it the slave yard shift, and I work
like
for,
that.
We work 4 to 4 a lot of times, 12-hour days, and then when we're working around the clock, we do an additional 3 8-hour days, so gets to be some hectic weeks, and everybody gets pretty short-tempered. Anyway, when I first started this job, I was, you know, I started through Manflogger, and, you know, temp, and then I got hired, but I started out in the test department of a electronic contract manufacturing. We make circuit boards.
Yes.
And so we do the stuff that has to be built in the United States for medical reasons or for government reasons.
Uh-huh.
When I was in the test department, I tested just a zillion boards for the Cray Jaguar, which
yes.
you can look up online, and I think it's 2.33 petaflops.
Yeah. They're amazing, amazing machines. I got to work with one of the Cray 2s at NASA, and you just felt, just standing in that room, that you were probably going to be sterile by the time you went home. Just from all that power around it. You know what was most fun about the Cray 2 was just looking at that liquid in the tank and just seeing all the swirls and the thermal swirls. And the harder it worked, the more intense those thermal swirls got.
Anyway, I wanted to bring up our new project. We're working for Cray again. Now, the
yes.
Jaguar was, you know, massively parallel processing, you know, each board. And we did zillions, I mean, a couple thousand boards or maybe 8,000 boards.
Mm-hmm.
Each board had 4 quad-core processors, AMD processors.
Mm-hmm.
Now the new Cray is going to have 8 to 12 core processors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pumping out more than we did last time.
I was just going to say, that's got to be the world's most amazing Mandelbrot generator.
I don't know how it works, and I don't know how they get them to all talk together. But
you know what I mean by Mandelbrots, right?
No.
That fractal pattern that was very popular, you know, was like a breakthrough for computer animation and graphics, and then 2 years later it was a screensaver. And I remember the first time I got to program a connection machine, you know, and I was learning how to program the connection machine, the first thing I did was make a Mandelbrot generator. And it was amazing how fast it would just blaze through these things. It's a very compute-intensive process. Anyway, we're almost at the end of this segment. Can you kind of sort of get to the point of what you wanted to tell us?
Well, that was just kind of it. You know, I don't know what they're using this for. And, you know, it's, you know, obviously it'll go to government or whatever. But the Jaguar was awesome, and this thing is going to be... even more so, and I don't know where it will end up, and
it's probably going to be some compute intensive operation. If it's massively parallel, is it a SIMD architecture?
I have no idea. Well,
we got to take a break. We just ran out of time. Thanks an awful lot, Rob. We're going to let you go here. We'll be back with Tim in New Mexico after these commercials.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you- flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What really happened?
And aloha, I'm Eric. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about codes and encryption and supercomputers. We've got a caller on the line, Tim in New Mexico. Aloha, Tim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike, or morning in your case. Anyway, I was thinking this Google thing is actually rather puzzling. It doesn't make sense. Google shouldn't have your email or your Gmail password. They should have an MD5 or SHA-1 kind of hash. It should be a one-way lock. They can't give the FBI the password.
Well, I don't think it's the password to the individual account. I think there's basically a mandated back door into the phone, and I think that's what the FBI is trying to get.
That would make sense, because Google would be a reset of the password. But anyway, and also for anyone interested in cryptography, if you do a little research, Stanford University is offering a lot of their graduate courses now free online, and they have a really excellent crypto class going through. They call it, I can send you a link if you're interested. It's like Coursera.org, and it's, you can actually take them for free, and pretty fascinating. So you get some of their best professors in Stanford, with possible exception of MIT or Berkeley, you know, they're top couple IT.
Well, if I had time to play with it, and I don't anymore, but when I was still playing with cryptography on a regular basis, the last idea I was working at was a coding system that would actually change the methodology based on the encryption key to make it that much harder to break. Mm. And, you know, so that just brute forcing it with a bunch of keys isn't going to do anything because you don't actually have the correct methodology for that particular message.
Right. And that's quite intriguing. That would be an interesting way to do it. And of course,
my copy is free time.
Yeah. Of course, the one pad actually, as I pointed out, even there. Stanford class is perfect.
Besides which, you and I don't have to work on that anymore because the NSA is listening to this show and somebody just sat up and said, wow, that is a good idea.
Yeah, right.
I'm promoted. I've made tenure.
Your patent. But, hey, that's prior art, though, Mike. At least they can't get a patent.
No, if it's cryptography, they'll declare it a munition like my Captain Midnight secret Dakota ring, and that'll be the end of it.
Okay, cool. And if I'll let you go and get on with the show. So that's about all I had.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. And we're going to switch over to Alex in New Jersey. Aloha, Alex. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Two things. First, when you were on commercial break before, we could hear your conversation. So
yeah, I know. And I forgot to turn it off. And it was just, you know, some stuff. And I should have shut off the feed to Justin TV, and I forgot.
Okay.
So, okay.
As long as you're aware of that.
I'm aware of it. As soon as I was done, I realized I hadn't hit the cutoff for the Justin feed. So.
All right. The other thing, yeah. I mean, you're talking about computers and breaking things. You know, you go back to World War II, the government was able to, even back then, crack codes that they said had more possibilities than the amount of atoms in the universe. And nowadays, they're amassing the parallel processing computers using the CUDA technology, and they basically get graphic cards, and they just put, you know, thousands and thousands of them together, and they can crack almost anything.
Yeah, but they got to have the methodology first. That's the hard part. If you're using one of the standard encryption systems, then yeah, all it takes is racking together enough GPUs, and they're going to come up with the message.
Yeah, Wired just put out an article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that the government was not able to crack the pattern thing to get into the iPad because it doesn't use your regular pattern of decoding digits that most other encryption methods use. But you're absolutely right about the
encryption.
That's
exactly right. Yeah, what it is there's no way to basically feed key numbers into it. It's always by hand of motion, and that very methodology means it's a very, very slow iterative rate.
Yeah, exactly. All right, great show. Keep up the good work, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Tony in Indiana. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Tony, you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Just now I can. Sure. What's up?
Can I throw you a curveball?
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, I think I heard maybe it was a year ago, maybe it was longer than that, you talked about Hamilton being probably your favorite founding father, even above Washington.
No, I didn't say above Washington, but he's definitely one of my... Actually, Thomas Jefferson's my favorite founding father.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Hamilton. I meant to say Jefferson. I'm sorry. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson, my fault. I was going to ask you about... Well, I guess when Jefferson was president, one of his biggest beefs was the, if I remember right, the Marbury versus Madison, the overreach of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Okay, in the Constitution, where it delegates the powers to the three branches.
Yes.
Could you settle an argument with me, well, not with me, but between me and a couple of friends, we were having an argument. Where in the Constitution does it give the Supreme Court the power of judicial review? We could not find it anywhere.
I'm going to have to tell you in all honesty, I do not recall it off the top of my head. It's certainly worth going back in and taking a look at it. But the idea of judicial review was that the court was the court of last resort. So anybody who was challenging the constitutionality of a law would inevitably wind up at that court. So it may be implied rather than explicit. I'll actually have to do a little research on that one for you.
Appreciate it. And again, that's the only reason I was wondering. It was because we thought that, you know, all this excitement over executive overreach and congressional overreach, but no one ever mentions anything about the Supreme Court. you know, trying to strike down a law that's been crafted by both sides of Congress and signed by the president, and all of a sudden they can just say, hey, we're going to say, no, you can't allow this law. I mean, where does it show that?
Well, without that, then the Congress and the president can just, you know, forget the Constitution and pass any laws they want. And so I'll take a look for that, you know, in the Constitution. But we have to have that. The whole idea of the way the United States was set up was to break the ruling power into fragments so that no one group could seize control of the policies of the entire nation. We're far away from that now. We've got an almost imperial president and a Congress that's a little more than a rubber stamp. If you start taking down the judiciary, then we really are truly a dictatorship. And I'm sure the court building will still be there for ritual purposes, but that's all it will be. We're going to let you go and switch over to Bill in Texas. Aloha, Bill. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, I just didn't know if I was up or not.
You are.
When I was younger, I used to like to mess with encryption and reading all a bunch of different books. And one method I enjoyed, you know, when I read about it, is I guess you call it the book method. And you could switch formats in the middle. So basically you could take, like, you know, the particular day of L.A. Times, and then you have, like, the first part of the little section would be the page. The next part would be the word. And then if you don't have a word in that particular document, then you would switch formats and then use the same system, but then you'd go to a particular character and only get that one letter out of that word. So
I'm familiar with the method.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fairly common. The Russians, or Soviets, I should say, used it for years. And they
it's a variation on the one-time pad.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a variation. It's a variation on the one-time pad. And all you need to do is say, you know, the message really, when the message comes in, there's a date stamp on it, and there's an agreed-to common book that is used to as the encryption and decryption key. There was a rather famous hoax called the Beale ciphers, where the one document that actually was a legitimate cipher used the Declaration of Independence as its key.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And it was probably the same law that other gentleman was talking about earlier, but I remember when they passed this law that said you cannot sell encryption software in the United States without first giving the government a backdoor key.
I know that you're not allowed to publish or sell encryption without prior approval by the government. It's probably the only area of publication acknowledged to be subject to pre-publication censorship by the federal government, and that has to do with its being declared a munition. And the government really is afraid that somebody somewhere on this planet is having a discussion they can't listen into. And that's a very terrifying situation for paranoid megalomaniac government.
Well, see, one trouble is if one person encrypts, it gives them something to go, hey, why is this person encrypting it? And, you know, it's like putting up a flare, but if a lot of people did it, like the guy was saying earlier, you'd have too many flares up in the air.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm encrypting. I'm not hiding the secret why I'm encrypting. I don't want somebody in the FBI or the TSA ripping off my business secrets and doing a little insider trading with it. That's why I'm encrypting my stuff.
Well, yeah, you have a business reason.
Every American citizen has a business reason for keeping their data private from the government. It's why the founding fathers, in a time before computers and communications and encryption, put in the requirement that the government had to mind its own business unless they really knew that you were engaged in some kind of a crime. Because they understood government phishing expeditions, whether it's in a computer or just coming over to your house and going through your closet, is a sign of tyranny.
Mm-hmm. No, I just forgot what else I was going to add, but I hate that when that happens.
Yeah, I do too. What can I tell you? I'm trying to multitask here, and I'm forgetting things. I forget to turn things off that I need to turn off.
It's
frustrating.
This was the last thing. I finally got high-speed internet, you know, satellite internet, and the very first thing I did was modified an A-B switch and put RJ45 connectors on it. So, like, if I get on the net to check emails, I click it on, get on, click it off. I just don't understand these people that stay with their computer on and on the internet all day long when they're not even using it. That's the first thing I do when I'm done is just flick that switch and it's hardwired disconnect.
Yeah, that's a really, really good thing to do. And my last cable modem, the new one doesn't have it, but my last cable modem, there was actually a button on the top. When you were done, you just touched that, and you were disconnected from the outside world. Your LAN was still working, but you were disconnected from the outside world. Right now, I actually don't have any secrets, so I really don't. I'm not that paranoid about it. I'm always trying to fend off the hackers, of course. But they're mostly attacking my web server, not my home machine. So, you know, we've got pretty good security around here. But if I have anything that's really secret, it's not on any machine that's connected to the Internet. And that would be, that's just common sense. You know, you cannot trust the Internet. You cannot trust commercially provided equipment to guard your privacy. Every day there's a new revelation about how this or that marketing company has planted spyware on your smartphones or on your laptops or on your whatever else it's got. Everything connected is open to looting and pillaging by the marketing companies and ultimately by the government itself. So just assume that these commercially provided devices are compromised and that they are working against you. And if you really do have secrets to keep, you know, then separate device, unhooked from the wall, and use your own encryption. You know that the real criminals, the ones that the U.S. government says they're worried about, the real terrorists or organized crime or the drug lords, you know they've developed their own private encryption systems because these people are all smart enough not to be using what's there at the store to protect their secrets because they know it won't. It absolutely will not happen.
Well, when I did security for Miami International Airport, we had to remember this long list of odd names, and they would just call this page this person, and you knew, go to this section, they're having this problem.
Yeah. Well, hospitals do that, too. Many years ago, when long before I met my wife, I was actually romantically involved with a nurse, and I spent a lot of time at the hospital, and they had these codes where they'd call for these doctor whatever to answer the phone, and they were the names of people who were not really doctors there, and they all signaled an emergency that was happening that needed to be dealt with without alarming the patients and the visitors on the floor. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff goes on.
Well, I'd just like to say keep up the good work, and I got to run.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Catch you later. All righty, I think that is it for the phone calls that we're waiting on the line here, so I want to go back to talking about some of the news stories here. We have this, speaking of intrusive behavior on your person, there's been another scandal where the TSA basically was patting down a woman and basically exposed her breasts to public view. And we had that story where the TSA is now considering relaxing the rules for people over the age of 75, that they won't have to take their shoes off, that they're going to be treated a little bit more gently, which is kind of nice. But it simply underscores the fact, you know, why are you doing it to anybody? Because there are old ancient terrorists, too, assuming that there were real terrorists. And frankly, I think they're all phonies. There's a new little wrinkle, though, however. Apparently, in response to all of the upset, the Department of Homeland Security is getting ready to impose, or rather install a program where if you're willing to pay a $100 fee, they'll allow you to basically skip the search. And, of course, we all know that terrorists have absolutely no money whatsoever, so that they will fall into this whole situation. It's really kind of a bizarre, bogus situation. Getting these stories about, again, abuse of police officers. There's been a case where a 9-year-old boy was repeatedly shocked with a stun gun by a police officer for refusing to leave his home. And it's just ridiculous, these things. They're not non-lethal. I think some 500 people have already died from these. We had a medical expert call into the show a while back who basically said the problem with these tasers is that if the shock hits you at the exact right moment in the heart's cycle, it'll put the heart into fibrillation and you can't get out of it and you will die. And that's why there are so many deaths from these things. There's a very real risk of being killed by these tasers, but they're sold as non-lethal. And because the police believe they're non-lethal, they just use them everywhere. It's just absolutely amazing. Yeah, we already talked about this. FBI can't crack Android pattern screen lock. And the reason is very, very simple. With anything that is typed in on a keyboard, they can just go as fast as they need to break the key if they're trying a brute force situation. But this pattern lock where you're dragging your finger, It takes a lot of time for each iteration, and that's why they can't break it. So they're trying to find a legal way to go around and say, you will give us your secrets. We don't know if you've done anything really wrong, but we need to satisfy ourselves that you are not building nuclear weapons there in your basement. All righty. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're almost up at the top of the show. And actually, as a matter of fact, we are at the we're coming up on our last break and then my wrap-up here going into the weekend. So we're not going to take any more callers for the rest of the show. Thank you very much. By the way, little side note before we go to the commercial break. J.K. Rowling, the author of all the Harry Potter books, she is one of those people who are rich that we don't hate. Because, as a matter of fact, she's actually given away to charity a huge amount of the wealth that she earned from the movie franchise and the books. And she's got this wonderful attitude, you know, once you've got what you need, use the rest to do some good. This is a person who's not a money junkie, very obviously. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Really Happen radio show. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Last segment of our show on this Friday heading into the weekend. And obviously, we're heading into some very interesting times for the rest of this month. Tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, and have a really good time. Next week, of course, on the 19th and 20th, Greece is supposed to be making a huge block payment on their debt. We're seeing signs they're not going to be able to do it. We're seeing the institutions that handle all these credit default swaps that were imprudently sold and insufficiently backed may start triggering. We know the ISDA initially declared a credit event, then they backed off. And it just boggles the mind how much longer they can hold this Ponzi scheme together. And it does appear that the race is on to try and get a major, major war going as soon as possible in order to have something to blame the coming major economic crash on. I think this next one coming is going to be worse than we saw in 2008. A lot of people talk about the crash of 1929, and it was a bad one, and they don't remember there was actually a smaller crash that preceded it. And it was in August of that year, and it crashed, and then it started coming back, and everybody said, well, we got out of that one, and that was when the really big one hit. And I think there's another big one on the way, and I think the idea that the U.S. government has is if they can get a really good war going, that's what's going to take the blame. We're sorry you're hungry, but it's those gosh darn Iranians. I'm very concerned about our people serving in the Mideast. We know that the U.S. government is never going to get popular support for a war with Iran unless there's some kind of a perceived atrocity, either a false flag attack in the United States of America or what appears to be an Iranian attack on a U.S. warship with significant loss of life, which is why a lot of people are very concerned about the presence of the Enterprise over there. So it's going to be an interesting time. And all I can say is, as you are out and about talking to your friends and your family, you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, make it a point to talk to everybody you know. Yes, I know the government's trying to convince you that they listen to everything you say, they read all your emails, they're looking at everything that you do. No, they don't. There are 330 million Americans. The government cannot watch even 1% of them. They watch a few people they figure are significant, and everybody else just go on living your lives and ignoring the fascists, at least in terms of their trying to scare you into obedience, and make a point of sharing what you know, sharing your concerns, sharing your opinions with your friends and family and coworkers, and say, this is a very frightening time. The money junkies have driven this nation to the edge of financial ruin, and the federal government has a long history of getting into world wars to get out of these self-created traps. And remember, it's a trap only in that you believe these arbitrary sets of rules. Economics are not real. They're no more real than comic books or religion. It's simply an arbitrary set of rules. Everybody says, we're going to play the game by these rules. And they're not real any more than Federal Reserve notes are real. Isn't it silly to blow up the world for a complete fantasy? And on that note, have a good weekend. Stay safe. Stay well. Hug your loved ones. Drive very carefully tomorrow. Support alternative media. Support Ron Paul. And aloha, America.